So this morning, I get the privilege of hearing the word from a great man who is a wonderful example of how to live the word, how to exemplify the word in his life. I think we all have examples of times that he's given us the word, that he's blessed us and taken care of us. Just a privilege being here from Michael Gilman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn please to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. Well, what a blessing and a privilege to be together. You know, we so look forward to times like this where we can be with each other, where we can be in God's Word, because I know that we spend time in the world, like Kiko prayed, outside of these walls. You know, there's a world out there, and with the believers, we have peace, we have joy, like we sang about. We have that wonderful comfort, and such a great blessing of all of us being edified, being built up. In 1 John, it says, you don't have to turn there, most of you know it, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light. God is light. And in him is darkness sometimes.
No.
What does it say? In him is
no darkness at all.
Nada. No darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And most religious people don't actually believe that. They think there is a little bit of darkness in God. Just don't get on his bad side, you know, or he might come after you if you do this or that. But the word of God just declares that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But, you know, if people walk away from the truth, they end up in the situation like we read about in Isaiah chapter 59, and that's where I want to start today. Okay, you're there. I'm not. Where'd they put that Isaiah thing? Oh, there it is. 59. Everybody comfortable? 59. Let's go to verse 7, please. Isaiah 59. In verse 7. Now this is speaking to Israel. Israel at that time, this is written, were the people of God, the chosen ones of God. And that's what this is referring to, okay? They were not walking with God, as you're going to see in a second here. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. They make haste. What is it to make haste?
Hurry up.
Man. To hurry up. They hurry up to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. We read the word iniquity, we think evil, and it is a word for evil. But the word that's used here for iniquity is actually a word that's like to work hard for nothing. In other words, they do all of this stuff, and what do they end up with? Something that's nothing, something that's worthless, right? So, not such a good picture of God's people at that time. Then it says, wasting and destruction are in their paths, you know, wherever they go. The way of peace they know not. The way of peace, it says they don't know. They're supposed to know peace because they're supposed to know God. And God is a God of peace. One thing I'm so very, very thankful for is the peace of God. In my life, I've over and over and over just thank God that there can be tumultuous situations around me, but in all of the craziness, I can have peace, the peace of God. Peace isn't available in the world. You know how the world is going to end up at peace? When it's destroyed. And after Christ comes back, and after the believers are all out of here, and then there's going to be peace. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's going to be awesomatic. But until then, there's not going to ever be peace in the world. People pray for world peace. Yeah, good luck with that. I seriously mean good luck with it, because God's word tells us there won't be. You pray for things that God says aren't going to happen? That's to your own destruction. But anyway, it says here, this is a happy teaching, waste of destruction. They didn't know the way of peace. Then it says, and there's no judgment. The word judgment here, we would think of as justice. You know, it's a right just judgment. He says there's no judgment in their goings. The word goings here is a word for, I think it's that word, yeah it is, that word for when, you know, like here in Georgia, you get stuck in the mud in your car, and you finally get out, and what's left behind? Those car tracks, right? That's this word here. See, in their going, in their path or their trench that they build, it says there's no judgment, that there's no justice. The way that they tread day after day, no justice in that. They have made them crooked paths. They've mapped out for themselves crooked roads. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So if you walk with them, you're also not going to know peace. Wow, what a picture. These were God's people, the word of God's talking about. Verse 9. Therefore is judgment or justice far from us. Neither doth justice, this word justice is actually the word for righteousness. Neither doth righteousness overtake us. What that means is, it's really kind of a beautiful figure. This is all figurative here, right? It's such a beautiful figure. I mean, it's a sad truth, but a beautiful figure. The figure of speech here is that righteousness, it's like you're going and righteousness is coming toward you, but never gets to you. You see that? It doesn't overtake us. It never, I think of it, you know, like you're walking, like I do this at the mall. There's the walkers, you know, and I like to speak God's word to them. So I see a walker and then I kind of pull up along the side. Hey, how you doing? You know, and so I like overtake them. I get to that point. That's what this is talking about. That it's just, they're so off that righteousness of God, it just never gets to them. Never gets to them. Then it says, we wait for light, but behold obscurity. It's like a dark place, like an underground prison. We want light, but what do we get? Obscurity, this darkness. It says, for brightness, but we walk in darkness, gloominess. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Good Lord. That's a grim picture of God's people. That's the way that God's people were at that time. Go to chapter 59 and verse 14, down to verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Well, let's read this. Judgment. It says, judgment is turned away backward. It's, you know, like if you're turned away backward towards something, it's not even looking at you. Right judgment isn't even looking at us, he's saying. And then he goes, justice stands afar off. That's the word for righteousness. Righteousness is nowhere in sight. Don't worry, we're getting to something good eventually in this, okay? This is the situation talking about God's people. These are God's people it's talking about, not just the people who don't know God. At that time, this is where God's people were at. Then it says, and this is the phrase that I was thinking about when I'm going to tell you something. Truth is falling in the streets. You know, somebody speaks truth and it just falls down into the street. You know, there some truth shows up and it just gone, falls in the street. And then it says, and equity cannot enter. Things that are straight and right, they can't even get there. There's people talking in the street, and you know, this street is like the marketplace, you know, where everybody gets together and everybody talks, you know, like Kroger, or even more so because everybody's all together there, you know, Aldi, Whole Foods, wherever you hang out with all your buddies, you know, but there it is. Everybody's talking, but justice isn't getting in. Righteousness isn't getting in. I thought of this phrase, truth has fallen in the streets, because I subjected myself to an unruly evil last week. I watched the Oscars. and Liz said, let's watch the Oscars. And I said, I don't know if I ever watched them before, and I never will again. it was the devil on parade. It was the devil on parade. Right there, the beautiful people, the rich, the famous, the people who have power, all there. Here they are, star-studded, beautiful people. And what was it? It was the thing the devil was pushing in our culture. If you really want to see what the adversary is planning for our environment, for the courses of this world, you don't have to go much farther than religion, politics, education, and entertainment. And that's where you can find what the devil is pushing. And the reason I read this section of scripture is because these people in Isaiah 59 were God's people. They were the believers. Yet even the believers at that time had turned away from God. You can read about it throughout these chapters in Isaiah. It's amazing. They turned their backs on God, and God was trying to help them, And somebody might speak truth, and it just gets dropped in the marketplace, dropped on the street. And I watch those Oscars, and it's my stupidity. Maybe you love the Oscars, and love you, God bless you, you're the best. It turned my stomach, because what I saw was what the adversary is pushing, and it's not pretty. It's every kind of sexual perversion and every kind of unrighteous thinking that's put out there in star-studded beauty. No, sorry to be so grim, but there's a good answer here. There's a good thing that we can do about the situation. Go to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. Oh, you know what? I really want to go to Isaiah 59, verse 15. I forgot to read this verse, if you don't mind. Back to Isaiah 59. I'm sure it's your favorite chapter now. Isaiah 59, look at verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. It's missing, you know, it's nowhere to be found. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Maketh himself a prey. Eddie, do you have the Spanish version there? What is the word for prey in Spanish? Prisión. And what does prisión mean? Prison. That's really kind of a good, neat little picture for us. Even when somebody comes along with something that's true and right, they're making themselves as being in a prison. Other people, you know, are plunder them. You know, in other words, you're right and everybody else thinks that you're wrong. And that's what happened to the prophet in Isaiah. Isaiah, he was speaking God's word to them, and all the people had turned to the course of the world. So what he spoke, he became himself a target. He became himself somebody who was antagonized. Okay, now, Psalm 77. Oh, sorry, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. In Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about, I'll read it to you. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says woe to them, because the word of God shows us what is right. The word of God shows us what is sweet. The word of God shows us what is good. The word of God shows us that which is upright and that which should be followed. It is the one standard that we have to show us what's true and right, what's light, what dispels darkness, what helps a person who has a heavy heart, what pulls somebody out of prison and gives them liberty. It's the word of God that does that. Psalm 73 is awesome. It's the record of this wonderful believer, Asaph. And Asaph was human. And he started looking around and he saw all those star-studded people at the Oscars. And this is what it says of him. Truly God is good to Israel, verse 1, Psalm 73. Even to such as are of a clean heart. I like that, clean heart. there's a verse in John 15 that says, you are clean through the word that I speak to you. You know, it's God's word that cleans our heart. That's the thing that cleanses us. He says, God's good to Israel, but then it gets kind of sad here. Verse 2, but as for me, you know, the music changes in the movie set and everything, and the lights change. They get that, like, greenish color. And it says, but as for me, dun, 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 my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see, we look at those star-studded people, the beautiful people, but inside their hearts, those people are no better off than you. Unless they also know God, inside is really treachery. And what they have to offer that you see is not what they truly have to give. We have to look at the way that the Word of God looks at situations and things. There's one truth, it's God's Word. And although the world looks a certain way to us, some of us have lived long enough to realize that's not the way it really is. That the way God defines things are the way things truly are. And we could stake our very lives on God's Word. Even if it looks different out there in the world, if God's Word says it's true, it's true. It's true now, it's true through all eternity. So whatever it looks like, that's not it. And anybody who even has a brain who doesn't know God's Word and looks at those star-studded people at the Oscars, I'm just using that as an example, but the things that are paraded in front of us as being great, anyone who has any kind of a brain realizes that something's off. Something's wrong. What good does that do them when they really have a need? Well, this guy looked at them and he said, I was envious. You know, I wanted that Armani suit or that whatever. Verse 4, for there are no... One of the ladies there, she looked like a caterpillar, the way they had this billion-dollar dress on her. She looked, well, never mind. First part, like a red caterpillar. It was really pretty funny. And another one was wearing a bed sheet. I don't know. I didn't quite get it all. Verse 5, they are not interested. And you want that? Do you want that? You want to look like a caterpillar? Well, it says there's no bands in their death, you know. Nothing bothers them. Their strength is firm. They're always healthy. They always look so good. Verse 5, they're not in trouble like other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. You know, like it seems like nothing ever happens to these beautiful people. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. You know, like a strong chain that holds them in. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. It seems like it's just what everybody wants. It looks just like that's what people want in their life. They want those riches. They want that lifestyle. They want to drive that Maserati or Ford or whatever it is. You know, that's what they want in their life. And he's saying, that's what I see. These people, they have all this stuff. It seems like nothing ever goes wrong for them. Verse 8, they're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. And you know what's so interesting to me? Is that these are the people that speak things and people take it for truth. These beautiful talking heads, people are saying things, they're pushing their agenda, and people, because they want to be like them, they take it for truth. Let's be careful in our lives to make our standard be God's Word. Let our standard be what God's, because God's Word is never going to let us down. God's Word is never going to fall before us. When we have God's Word, it's going to be true to the very end. this guy looked around, same situation. You know, they didn't have the Oscars then, maybe they had the Zacharias or something. And they set their mouth against the heaven. Verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the what? Who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know it, know this, it was too painful for me. He's saying, look, God, here are these people. They're out there. Nothing ever happens wrong to them. They're beautiful people and everything is great. Me, I'm trying to clean up my life. I'm trying to live a perfect straight path, not make a crooked road. I'm trying to be the best, and I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. And here, nothing ever happens to them. And then the music gets happy again. Look at the next verse. It says, verse 17, until, this is what I thought. I was envious at them. I figured all my efforts are in vain. Woe is me. La, 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 la. Such a worm am I. And verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You can't drive your Maserati to heaven. And God's not going to look at your star-studded, you know, caterpillar suit and think that you're somehow more worthy than somebody else. He says, surely, verse 18, thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Why? Because they'll refuse God's word. There are people that out there, and I'm not talking about every person that, you know, wears an Armani suit. Armani is I've heard about Armani suits, I don't know. Or wears Ralph Lauren dress or whatever. Has 12 pounds of diamonds on them. Whatever. You know what? He says, they'll go into destruction. Why? Not because God wants anybody to go down to destruction, but because they'll refuse the word of God. They'll take something else above it. How are they brought into desolation? Verse 19, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, you know, in his thoughts. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He's saying, God, why did I do this to myself? I looked at all of their everything, and I wanted it, and I got envious about it, and I wish I was like them. I wish I could be them. He goes, but how stupid I was. When I saw what they're really like, when we look at the perspective of God's word compared to the culture of the world, it points out and makes clear to us what's wrong and what's right. True equity, true justice, true truth comes from God's word. And against that standard, you can judge everything else. Whether somebody looks like the beautiful person or they look like the downer and outer, does that matter to God? And honestly, it shouldn't to us. As believers, as people who walk and with and love God, in the one body, we're all the same, aren't we? Nobody's better than anybody else. And in the world, whether they're star-studded or not, they have needs. And whether they've, you know, live in the gutter or live in a palace, they still have needs. And the answer is still God's word. The answer is still the truth of God's word that will straighten things out for them. This goes on, but I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Wow, Asaph just bears his soul before God. Isn't it nice that God put this in his word?
Yeah.
For us to read it. for us to understand some of these records are sad. They're supposed to be sad. They're sad, so we read them and we understand from it that what God intends for us is greater, is bigger. It's perfect what God has given for us. And if you go to Deuteronomy 30, let's go to verse 19. Here he's yelling at him again. Okay. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, die. No. What's God's desire? He says, look, guys, here's the prophet. I've set it before you. This is life. This is death. This is how you get blessed. This is how you're going to do things to your own hurt. He goes, now what should you do? Please. God's saying, please, choose life. Door number one. You know, please, please choose life. Choose life. That's what God wants for people, to choose life. God isn't interested in people getting hurt. God isn't interested in people being in desolation. God has no vindication against people who are hurt. But he wants them to choose life. So here he tells these guys, choose life. He says, and then it says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy father Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings. Samuel, then Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're not going to read this whole record this morning, but I thought of this because it doesn't matter to God what people look like. And for us as believers, it shouldn't matter so much what people look like either. Because we have a true and a right standard by which to go, and that's God's word. And you know what, guys? When we look at things spiritually, it cuts right through what is visible to the senses. It cuts right through. Somebody could look like hell, but they're walking on God's word. Someone could look like star-studded beauty, and they're the devil's playground. Senses will deceive us. But God's word and the truth of God's word never will deceive us. Why do we take the time to study the word like we do? So we can know what God's will is and we can help people in this world. Whether they're star-studded or not, the answer for them is the truth of God's word. Reminds me, when I was in Texas one year, I was speaking the word to some people and they said, how long have you been studying this Bible? I said, oh, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years. And they go, you don't know it yet? Oh my gosh, what a good question. You never fully know it because God's word is so deep, because God's word is so full. It just goes deeper and deeper and deeper as you go into it. It was kind of a good answer question, though. Oh, you don't know it yet? You've been studying for 5 years? Now Naaman, verse 1, captain of the host of the king of Syria. The Syrian king at that time was the most powerful man in the world. And here this guy was the captain of the host. That's the army. The captain of the host, kind of a high-flying dude, was a great man with his master. Great man. With the most powerful guy there. And he was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. What a guy. He could have been on the Oscar stage. You know, what a guy. He had all this stuff going for him. But just like so many people who are clothed in Armani, or pick any other, I can't think of any other designers. I'm not good at this. Yves Saint Laurent. How's that? Huh? But he was what?
A leper.
You know what? He had a problem that all his money, fame, power, power, honor could never deliver him from. And that's the way it is in the world, whether people look good or not. If they've got a need, they've got a need. And the only answers are the answers from God's Word, that Word of God that you and I have to offer them. You are no smaller than anybody else in the world. You've got God's Word to offer people, and so do I. That's why we like to speak it so much. Then verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So here's this little Jewish girl. She was captured, and now she's a slave. And she's a slave to the wife of this leper dude, who happens to be the captain of the host. And verse 3, she said to her mistress, she told Naaman's wife, she said, Naaman's wife, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, don't you think that Naaman probably tried Dr. Feelgood? Don't you think he already went all around and looked to the astrologers? And to, he had money, he had power, he had fame. He probably tried all the Hollywood diets and everything else for his situation. But here's this little slave girl, this captive girl, and she says to the wife of Naaman, I wish he would just go see the prophet in Israel. He'll recover him of his leprosy. Well, we're not going to read the record, but guess what happened? This great man, Naaman, went to the man of God. And you know what happened to him? Most of you know, he got healed. And it took him a lot of work. It took a lot of work for him to get over his pride. It took a lot of work. He was mad. He was mad that this prophet dude didn't even have the courtesy to come out of his house to talk to him, but sent a servant out to tell him, go jump in the dirty river and you're going to get healed. And he was pissed off, as we say in New Jersey. But you know what? He did humble himself to God's word, and this mighty man of valor got healed because of a slave girl speaking God's word. If we have God's word, it's the greatest power this world has ever seen. And whether we're star-studded or not, I'm sure you're all, you know, highfalutin in your jobs and everything, but whatever you are, you know, it just hardly matters. We have something that's so great, God's word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When I was in high school, my friend Mary and I decided to speak God's word to every person in our town. And it wasn't a very big town, and there were big houses on big lots, so we really didn't have a lot to cover. But we took one summer and we went to every house in our town. And we witnessed God's word to them. And what was striking to me from all of that was all these people that had all this money in that town, they didn't even recognize their own needs. Sometimes, until you give somebody God's word, they don't even realize the situation that they're in. And God's word just cuts right through all that to get to the heart problem and to give the right spiritual solution. That's what God's word does. And that really stood out in my mind. Most people wanted to give us money, say, okay, you kids go off here, take this money and everything will be fine. But money wasn't the answer to the problems they were having in their house. We knew their kids because we went to school with them. And these rich people, their kids were dealing drugs. Their kids were, well, I won't tell you about all of them, but it wasn't so happy. And yet it looked so good on the outside in their special houses. People in the world have needs. Their hearts are hurting. And they're trying not to show it. And they also are frustrated because they don't have an answer. But you and I, why just us? I don't know, but we have answers. Answers that can handle the heart issues and problems of anybody's life in this world. Not that we're so great, but we just happen to humble ourselves to believe God's word. and what we have to offer people is fantastic. Ephesians 5:11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by what?
Light.
The light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, the same thing in my life. I read something in God's word and it convicts my heart. I read it and I go, oh, yeah, I am screwed up in that area. God, please just help me with this. Because the light of God's word shines through all of the darkness. And then it says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Many of the versions say, Christ shall shine on you. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we want. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The world needs what you and I have. And I'm not saying we're so great, we're better than anybody else, because we're not. But I will tell you what we are, and this is something that's true. We are righteous. We do truly belong to God. And all of you that can speak in tongues, you prove it every day. Every time you speak in tongues, you prove how you are right, how you are righteous, how you have eternal life. That is something. That's very special. But it's not because we're so great. It's because we just happen to decide to believe. And there's other people that we can help, people like us, that also can believe and get the truth of God's word and can be blessed like we are. Well, 13 of chapter 2, for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It's a dark world out there, like Kiko prayed about, outside of these walls, you know. There's a world out there. But you know what? It says, among whom ye shine as what?
Lights in the world.
Lights in the world. We can be like Asaph was and look around at the neighbors. There's no neighbors here I really would like to be like, though, to be honest with you. I don't like their cars either. But anyway, but you know, you can look around and you could wish that you could be like somebody else, you know. But you've got all that there is, the best that there is. And then it says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights, your luminaries in a dark world. And then it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What we need is to send the light. What we need is to help people to get out of the dark world that they're in so they can see, so they're not groping against the walls trying to find something dark even though it's noonday outside, so that they can see spiritually like we can see spiritually. And we're just scratching the surface of what God has available for us. What God has is so great. It's the one answer to this depraved world. Those people on that star-studded stage that I wish I never saw, I'll tell you what, God's word can help them too. And we shouldn't be afraid to speak God's word to them because of their Armani suits. Or we shouldn't be repulsed by them because they're being used by the adversary. We should be able to shine as lights and give them God's word. There's no one in the world that you and I can't help because we have God's word. Now it's just up to us to decide to speak it, to be those lights, holding forth that word of life. Where did I tell you to go? Oh yeah, that was a smart place to go. Chapter 2, 22. 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. Oh yeah. Flee also youthful lusts. You know what that means? You know, you got to have everything and you need it right now. That's what needs the lesson. But follow after what?
Righteousness.
Follow after faith or believing. Charity, that's the love of God. Peace. See, that's the way that you are. That's why it's so fun for us to be together. That's why we like being together. Because we have these things. The love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. We've got it. And I want other people to have it too. With them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient. You know why I'm reading this? Because you could look at the people out there in the world, and we could get kind of hard too. Sometimes we are a prey to them, like they want to put us in a prison because we speak the truth, and they want it to fall to the ground. But don't feel that way. Don't ever let the world change who you really are. We can be gentle. We can have the love of God. We can have the peace of God. It says, peradventure, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Why in meekness? Because I should just be so happy that I didn't go into that pit with them this time. I should just be so thankful that God saw a way to bless me and to help me, that somehow I was smart enough to accept and believe God's word. That's why it says in meekness. But it says instructing those who oppose themselves. They don't even know it, but the natural man is a slave to himself. Until you get God's word, you're in captivity. And then it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance in acknowledging of the truth. And verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That word of God can liberate any person in this world if they'll just accept God's word. And we have the light to give them. We have that word of God to offer. We're going to close in Acts 26, I think it is. Acts 26. Is that that place where Paul talks to those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, 26, please. Acts 26. I think it's verse 18. 26. It is. Here's the commission that God gave to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who also looked like he had everything. You know, you can read Philippians. He tells you his whole blue blood history and how great he was and how he lived perfectly according to the law. All this great stuff. And then he says, I count it just by doo-doo, dung, you know, caca, compared to Christ. Here he looks so great. And then God called him out and said, look, I need you to go to people. And here's the commission that God gave him. It says in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. No more obscurity. No more groping along the wall trying to find something. No more walking in noonday but still being in darkness. He says, that they may receive forgiveness. Oh, I've missed an important part. And from the power of Satan unto what?
God.
If you got the power of God, this power of Satan is nothing against you. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We've got the light of God's word to offer. We got to get out there and send the light. We are the luminaries in a dark world. Not because we're just so special and God called us out because we're so great, but because we just happen to believe God's word. And because of that, we do have something that's great, something that's amazing to offer to the world. A cure for cancer or AIDS or whatever else, dog homelessness, whatever people are pushing right now, the whales that have, what's that, wire stuck on them or something. All these things, I mean, those things are sad, and I don't mean to make light of the problems of the world. But look, all of that stuff is nothing all of those things that people go through can be delivered from the light of God's word that we have. We just need to send the light. So I'm going to pray. Thanks, Father, for your word. Thank you for the thrill, the privilege, the blessing to know you. Father, we just need your help to get to people of the world, to bless them, that they can turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, and they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And Father, that they can have the glorious liberty of the light in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us. Thanks for what you've given us, for the blessed privilege that we have to have each other in this world, and to hold forth that light of your word to people that truly will help them. Just thank you for the blessing it is for us to be together. And Father, just magnify yourself to us, please, that we can walk with that great power of God. Thanks for the blessing of sharing your word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.